and then if one of you takes the other end, and then between the three of us, if we go to the front, just so that everybody can have just a better look at it. So as Ben said, what they've done is, they've done some research, they've written down and found out people in Colchester who have died during the war. And it's great to have days like this, isn't it? Great to have days where we remember the sacrifice of many people, like the people on these, who brought peace and freedom, so that you and me can sleep safely at night. We're not worried about planes flying over the top of our houses and bombing us. That's what it felt like to be in this country during the war. That's what it would have been like. What an amazing thing it is that we have peace because of guys like these guys, so that we don't have to sleep worried about that. Right, let me put it on the floor for us, and you guys can have a seat. And just watch out you don't trip over it. Thank you very much. You see, we need days like this because we can easily forget. Have a think to yourselves. How many times a year do you think about men and women like these guys who died in the war many years ago? How many times do we think about it? Perhaps if you have family who died in the war, you may think about it a little bit more often because it means something more to you. But I know I don't think about it as often as I should. Think about the sacrifice that these guys paid for us. This morning I want us to think for a few moments about another sacrifice. Perhaps you've never heard of it, or perhaps you don't think of it as often as you should. And it's a sacrifice that's found on verse 8 of our passage. So if you have a look down in your service sheet, where Richard was reading, there's a little number 8. And this is the great sacrifice that God has done for us. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, to be really honest with you, I am a little bit hungry and I've got one bag of sweets left, but I'm willing to give them out to one person. Would anyone like this bag of sweets? You surprise me that your hands are up. Let me give them to you. Your hand was first. Okay, don't eat them now if you can help it. And you might be able to share them at the end. Can you see how I just made a huge sacrifice? Okay, can you see that? Tangtastics as well. Properly nice sweets. I'm hungry. I've given them to Charlotte. I don't have them anymore. I was willing to do that for her so that she could have some sweets. And Charlotte, to be fair, she's not done a great deal for me, has she? It's not like Charlotte's done lots of things and I can give her some sweets. She really hasn't done very much apart from put her hand up. But yet, Paul says in this passage, the sacrifice that God has made for people like you and me is much greater than the one I've given Charlotte, because it cost him his son. His son that was born on this earth, we remember that at Christmas, don't we? And died some 33 years later on a cross. It's a great sacrifice, because it's a sacrifice of love. God loved people like you and me so that he would send his son to die for us. Now think about some sacrifices that you know of. They're pretty amazing, aren't they? What about the parent who saves their child from being run over by a car? The soldier who gives his life protecting his platoon? Those kind of sacrifices are amazing, aren't they? And when someone's life is saved by that kind of sacrifice, we'd expect them to be thankful, wouldn't we? Perhaps they'd contact the family, recommend them for an award, tell others that great story. How do we respond when we hear the news God has sacrificed his son for us? Do we write it off like it didn't actually happen, or that it doesn't have anything to do with us? The amazing thing is, even if we respond like that, it didn't stop God from doing it anyway. That's why it's a great sacrifice, because he did it anyway for people like you and me. But the question is, why? This is where you need your red and blue piece of paper. This is going to require a little bit of movement, okay? Don't get too upset by this. If you have a red piece of paper, can you come and sit, on this side of the church? If you've got red and you're here, you're happy. If you're blue, you're not so happy. If you've got blue, You need to sit on this side of the church. Red that side, blue that side. Off you go. Off you go. So red that side, blue that side. And I'm going to test you to see if you're actually listening. Okay, so this is the test. Hopefully, it should be red here, blue here. So this side, hold up your cards or a little piece of paper. Yes. This side, hold up your cards. Many more blues than reds. We obviously didn't hand them out quite evenly. Thank you very much. Why have I got you to do something like that? Because things divide us, don't they? Nothing divides people like sport. So for some people, being red would mean you're a Man United supporter or a Liverpool supporter. If you're a blue, you're a Man City supporter or an Everton supporter. If you don't know football, it doesn't mean much to you. I understand that. The idea is there are two different sides and they're divided. For us, the division is this aisle. For people who support those football teams, they may not even be friends with each other because they support the wrong team. Let's take it a stage further. Different sides can go to war with each other, can't they? People on different sides of a line. Think about Israel and Palestine, and in the middle of them is this little strip called Gaza. And yet two different sides at war with each other. So our exercise was to show on one side is red, on another side is blue, and there's a gap between us. What has this got to do with our passage? Well, the Bible says that there is a war going on. And there are two sides, not red and blue, but God and us. The reason why we're on the other side from God is that so often, if we're honest, we live our lives without God, we reject who he is and what he's done for us. Actually, we're his enemies. You don't just have to not believe there's a God to be his enemy. The Bible says that every one of us, if we're honest, are his enemy. And in this war, there are two options. We can either continue to be at war with him, ignore what he's done for us, and live our lives that he doesn't even exist. Or we can seek peace. And here's the amazing news this morning. Although we're at war with God, God has provided a peacemaker for us. Have a look at that little number 10 on page 3 of our passage. This is the last thing we're going to look at. Then I'm going to hand back to Ben. Look at this little verse. It's where the number 10 is. This is God's amazing peace that he's made with people like you and me. For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled, that means made peace with, to him through the death of his son, that's Jesus, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Can you see how that is great peacemaking? We're enemies of God, we're in the wrong, and yet he offers the hand of peace to people like you and me through Jesus. Is that a sacrifice and a peacemaking that you've ever heard of before? I'm guessing that's not why we came here this morning. We came to remember these guys dying for us, and that's really, really important. Can you see how maybe Jesus' sacrifice is worth remembering too? I'm going to pray now, but if you've got any questions about what I've said, please come and chat to me at the end. I'd love to tell you more about what we've done and what we've looked at this morning. And we've got an all-age service next Sunday where you can find out more about this great sacrifice that Jesus has done for us. Why don't I pray and ask God to help us remember what we've looked at this morning. Father, we thank you for your great sacrifice for each one of us. Thank you for the peace that you've made. And thank you that if we trust in what you've done, we are at peace with you rather than at war. And help us to remember that and respond to that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.